Recording. And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Gaming Podcast, episode 28. Hope all of you are doing well. It's, happy Mario Day, happy Capcom Highlight Day. We got a lot of stuff to talk about with Mario Day and Capcom. And also Rise of the Ronin, early previews are out as well. So I'm glad some people who are here, I didn't play it. So I'm glad some people who might have played it, Steve.
I wish I had gotten some time to play it. I mean, PlayStation did send me a code for full disclosure. I just haven't had an opportunity to jump in yet, but I'm looking forward to hearing what Steve thinks about it. And I mean, we'll get to that when we do.
Absolutely. So, well, Kubus, how's your week going?
Good. I mean, it's been a busy week, but some exciting things coming up. And you know, I mean, Spider-Man 2 dropped New Game Plus. I've been grinding away at that. You know, I've been trying to like unlock all the new suit styles that they got for the symbiote suits. Just going through, like, there's quite a bit actually in that update that they had dropped that they just didn't even talk about, like some updates to certain movie suits and things like that.
Okay, we could talk about we could definitely add that on
today,
because it is like there's some announcements. It's still like a lighter week, so we could definitely add on, like, give a little web slinger love, you know. And then Sammy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I finished Baldur's Gate 3. I did
you
it.
You almost said two.
I almost said two. But I finished 3, and now I'm playing Divinity Sin 2. I'm doing everything like completely out of order, but it's fine. It'll be fun. So I'm excited for the next 140 or so hours until I finish that as well.
You're not going to be done until the summertime. And then by then, it'll be like another
next
Baldur's
summer,
Gate.
Maybe.
Like, oh, Jesus Christ. That's good luck. Steve, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. We'll get into it in a bit. But I had did some coverage on the Rise of the Ronin. The preview was for yesterday. So myself and, fellow Game Podcast co-host Steve Vigvari, Stevie Monday, the two Steves got together and talked about Rise of the Ronin. So that was pretty cool. And, and just plugging away at the Dungeons and Disabled's project. I'm working on the trailer just before we started recording today. So
literally paused it to be like, I gotta be on here. I'll pause everything.
Yeah, literally.
That's dedication.
Awesome. Yep, awesome. So. Perfect timing, just especially for PAX that's coming up. The perfect place to be like.
So I'm hoping to be able to have the trailer out just before PAX. I'm hoping basically the Wednesday, the 20th, or maybe the 19th. I haven't decided yet. Depending on how quick I can put together the trailer. It's still a work in progress right now, but
Well, you know what? Let's make this episode a quick one for you so you get right back to work and everything.
Sure.
So first topic, Sunday. Mario, March 10th, for those who don't know, I have a good friend called Ray Apollo. He had no idea what March 10th is. He's like, what the hell is March 10th? I'm like, dude, it's Mario Day. What are you talking about? You know, this little clip is for him. I'm going to send it to him later. So,
Ray. Yeah. Get with the times, Ray.
Come on, Ray.
I love you, Ray.
they actually announced quite a lot of things here. It became like a little mini direct, which I think a lot of people just kind of slept on, not knowing clocks even went forward as well. In case you didn't know, there's your little reminder.
Don't remind me.
So they announced some launch dates, especially for Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door, which is coming out on May 23rd. Looking forward to that. One's a remaster of the GameCube game, of course. If you haven't had a chance to play that, or you want to revisit it, you know, here's your chance right here. And then Luigi Mansion 2 HD coming out on June 27th. And here's my question for you guys now. So Luigi Mansion was like Nintendo's last known published game. Is this now where, like, in the June era, we're going to be like, here's what's coming in the winter. Possible Switch 2?
Definitely a possibility.
There's nothing after Luigi, like Nintendo side.
Well, when does Princess Peach come out?
That's March 22nd.
Yeah. Oh, March. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, it's been kind of been speculating or there's been speculation around what will actually be like the winter or the holiday game. There was a lot of people sort of thinking potentially might be the whatever Pokemon was working on, but obviously that's pushed to 2025. And obviously, the potential was going to be that it was going to be the Switch 2 might have been in the fall or holiday. I still think there potentially might be the rumors of a Metroid Prime 4 might be that holiday game, because I don't think that they would have held off on that to 2025, because there was rumors that it was supposed to launch with in the fall. So I could definitely see that. I mean, at any given point, I think we're probably going to hear something come June. If they're going to have a direct, Nintendo Direct, yeah. I think we'll know what their holiday plans are by then, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's sort of, it's like, although E3 is gone and we will never see it again, pretty much. I mean, that is still a time slot or like a window where we get all these game reveals, we get these directs, whether it be from PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So I definitely could see either like a summer kind of bash, like, hey, here's all the things coming from Nintendo in the future. And then maybe have like the, oh, and one more thing, Switch 2 coming out 2025 or whatever it might be. I do agree. I mean, yeah, Metroid 4 has been like a highly anticipated one. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't follow Nintendo as closely, but like, mm-hmm. it was in development, then they scrapped all the development and pretty much started from square one. Yeah, like that has gone through a long, long road.
It was announced at the Game Awards, just showing the logo, now in development.
Yeah.
And this is 2017. And then I would say like halfway through, they scrapped it and gave it to Retro Studios.
Yep.
So
yeah, okay. So that still could be a ways out, but who knows?
Yeah.
Depending on how much they maybe would have carried over from its original development, unless they were literally just clean slate.
Well, they that was kind of the impression I got, was that when it sort of stopped production and they were like, okay, and we're going with another studio, I think that was kind of it. They just start from scratch again. But yeah. I think that's still kind of enough time, even given with the pandemic. I think mm-hmm. that's still at least a good potentially 5 years of development time.
When did it scrap?
Ooh, I want to say 2018 or 2019.
Then, I do agree. Because then at that point, you're looking at still another 5-6 years of development. So we could see it this year. So
that's why I'm sort of putting credence to that being a Switch title and not a Switch 2 title. Mm. Because they would not have been working on that for that long unless they scrapped it again and basically were like, okay, now you're putting everything on the Switch 2. Which I don't think would be the case. I think this would have totally been like a cross-gen game. Yeah. I think it still would have, if they actually do put that out as sort of like the last sort of big game for the Switch, and it still can be able to be playable on the Switch 2, I think that'd be pretty awesome. I mean,
I'd be down for it.
Like, the only two franchises we have not had on the Switch in this generation is a decent, like, Donkey Kong game. We haven't had an actual Switch version, even though Tropical Freeze, but that was I think it was like a Wii U.
That's a Wii U remake. Port. Yeah.
And then we not had a proper like a 3D Metroid. We had Metroid Dread, which was an original, but we haven't had a proper 3D Metroid. So that's the only mm-hmm. two franchises that never really got any love on the Switch, as it were.
So it was January 2019 when they announced.
Restart
everything.
So I'm with Steve on that for sure in terms of the timelines, and I do agree that it'll probably be a Switch game, with maybe like whatever the extra little bells and whistles you can get if it ends up coming to a potential Switch 2 and there's like some upgraded hardware there.
Now, I feel like Metroid is like just a fan base, fans are like, where's Metroid? And for some reason Nintendo's just been ignoring Metroid. I'll be really surprised if Metroid was their holiday game, because Nintendo doesn't really have, I don't know, they don't have confidence in Metroid, or they just keep forgetting Metroid. I feel like it's more popular in the Western side than like in the Japanese side,
right?
Because everyone here is like, oh, first person shooter, like we love it here more than in the Japan side.
It has nothing to do with Samus.
As far as nothing. No. They get more love. I just can't see Metroid being the holiday season, which is why I'm kind of thinking like it's gonna be like a crossover game, and like I don't know, maybe that, like I don't know. I just feel like there's a gut feeling I have that like the Switch 2 might be coming out this holiday.
I don't know. I'm still on the train of it being still March, like a early 2025 release.
That's what kind of the rumors are pointing towards, at least, right?
Yeah. Because they're saying that they might, or they're pushing it so that they can potentially like have more supply for when it launches. And that's why I still think that if that is the case, that is that it is going to be early 2025. That's why I still think that they probably would still put like keep Metroid Prime in its slot. In the holiday slot, even if they like, because like it would have been a crossover game for sure, a cross-gen game for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would have been necessarily the launch title for the Switch 2. It just would have been one of the launch titles. But right now, the thing is that they don't have anything really going into the holidays. Now it's not unknown of that they would go into the holidays without really any particular specific holiday release, but it generally for the past few years they've always had at least something, whether it's Pokemon or a Nintendo title. So that's why I'm putting more credence to it still being released in the fall. But then again, who knows? I mean, right now their winter is still open, so their fall is still open, so we have no idea. I still think they probably would have maybe a few partnerships or maybe a few like kind of like smaller games maybe in the fall that kind of lead into it, but I don't know. It just depends on kind of like whether they want to get into the holidays with a big splash or they want to, put all their eggs into the end of their fiscal 2024.
It'd be very interesting. Then.
Yeah. It'd be go ahead, Sammy.
Have they done anything with like the Yoshi franchise in like the last couple of years? What about like a Yoshi Story freaking rework? That would be awesome.
There's
That'd be
one my Yoshi game. It was like that paper, like the crafted world.
We haven't gotten a new 3D Mario since Odyssey, right?
Nope.
Yeah, and that was a Switch launch game, if I remember correctly.
It was in the Switch year. The launch year.
So I'd have to imagine that something like that's got to be on the way with a new Switch. I feel like
you'll save that for the Switch too.
That's what I'm saying. Launch title. Oh, okay. That would be a launch title for the Switch too.
I totally get what you're saying, Marcel, and I'm sure Nintendo too is probably thinking of themselves, like having the Switch 2 drop around that holiday time, like, man, it would sell like crazy.
When do you announce it?
Why would I be focused on
Metroid and be like, hey, Switch 2 is coming out in March? I'd be like, sorry, Samus, you'll lose again.
Well, I mean, again, that's where they're probably going to come out with something like they ended up doing, Breath of the Wild that ended up coming to the Wii U alongside the Switch. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like we've missed out or there hasn't been opportunities before where they would release a big new game and still have it come out on their last gen console. So I could see that. But I mean, yeah, having that holiday window empty and not having the Switch 2 come around that time, I imagine they're kicking themselves and, you know, they're wishing they could have gotten the amount of units ready to go for that time. But I guess it just makes sense if they want to save it for the spring, if they want to save it for basically a year from now, just to make sure that they have as much stock as they possibly can. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it still fits within their fiscal too. Like it's still being released in their fiscal 2024.
Right. But to talk about Mario Day in general as well, I mean, lots of cool announcements. I think I was hyped to hear as well. They announced the release date for the next movie.
Yes.
I think the first Mario movie was charming. I'm surprised it didn't get as reviewed or it didn't get reviewed as well as I expected it to. I thought honestly it would have been like an easy, like people are just going to love this and just it's just comfort food, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it made a ton of money and so
a lot of general audiences
loved it. So I'm sure that the second one is going to be kind of that same sort of fare.
I think like If you haven't seen the movie, you know who's going to be showing up, and it's someone who Sammy just mentioned just now, you know, so for those who haven't seen Mario for some reason, I don't know. they also announced for coming out today, Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis, which those two games, very heavily RPG story-based, actually, so if you're looking for a good story-based golf and tennis game, all available now on the Switch Online. Game Boy Color versions, and then they have a collaboration with Lego. And the reason why I want to mention this is because it's also a Mario Kart theme.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm thinking, hey, you know what? This is coming out. Who knows? I can't remember. I don't know when they're saying
next year, 2025.
2025, new system, new Mario Kart Lego stage, maybe.
I mean,
right. A Lego stage in Mario Kart. Why not?
I like it. But
come on. Collab the two toys together, maybe?
They've never done a collab.
Like a collab, yeah.
With like, for a track before.
Unless, I would attract, you know, well, they Kart, did Mercedes like, Benz, and that had nothing to do with Mario Kart.
Unless Mario Kart 9 or 10 what, or X, whatever they're gonna call the next one, unless that is sort of going to be having like a few collabs, I could see it happening. But I don't know. It's like, I feel like that it's Lego collabing with Nintendo instead of Nintendo collabing with Lego. At least that's my kind of take on it, is that, oh yeah, no, Lego's making this on with permission from Nintendo. You know, Lego being like, hey, why don't you do this in your games?
I mean, like, it'll boost sales.
It'll be cool. It'll be cool. 100% like, be amazing.
That Mercedes Benz didn't make me want to go buy a Mercedes Benz. I don't know why they have Mercedes Benz as a car in Mario Kart. I'll certainly.
I bought one the next day. What are you talking about, Marcel?
I'm sorry. I forgot you had an E-Series. That's right. Yeah. You know, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's like a good circle to have, especially with kids, to be like, oh, I want to play with this. And then they see that stores, they pick up Lego, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just doing Nintendo's marketing apparently. So I don't know. They also had Princess Peach that came out, the demo came out very quietly on over the weekend as well. I don't know if anyone here has tried it. I tried it out. Very simple game, clearly like targeted for kids and everything. One thing I would say is what they showed on the trailer, like, does not match in the gameplay graphical wise. Like, it's a little blurry, I find, in a demo. And I don't know if it's a demo issue, and I know maybe they have time to clean up on for the trailer and everything, but like the trailer, like, version of Peach and like how the look gameplay wise is much sharper than what I was like, man, like, the whole time I just felt like it was just like a sheet was blurred like across the whole
time. Did you play it docked or did you play it mobile?
Yeah, docked. Yep.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
So maybe that's another like signs of like, oh, here's a upgrade for this game, a free upgrade on the next Switch system is my that, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's all your Mario goodness. Happy Mario Day once again. And well, you know what? Let's talk about Spider-Man 2. What's going on with the new game plus here?
Yeah, I mean, so New Game Plus finally dropped. This is like a long, long awaited update. It came with a bunch of features that I feel like a bunch of people were thinking that should have been in there like day one. And like some of them I tend to agree, like changing the time of day, replaying missions. Those were features that were there day one for Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. New Game Plus, I mean, I know that came later down the road for the first Spider-Man game. That was their day one for Miles Morales as well, though. So yeah, like there was a certain expectation there, but I mean, honestly, they treated this update almost like it was a DLC drop. Like, it came with a ton of new suits. And, like, the symbiote suits were Peter. So, like, his base symbiote suit, the upgraded one, and then the anti-venom suit all have, like, different styles now that you can equip. The only thing is, though, is it's a grind to get them. It's done through this thing called Ultimate Levels, which you get when you're playing through New Game Plus. And these are levels that are like beyond the level cap that you would normally get to in the base game. The only thing is each Ultimate Level is 40,000 XP. You get like an average of about like 2,000 to 3,000 per main mission. So it's a grind. It is a grind to get them. But honestly, like for me, it's giving me another excuse to jump back into the game. I'm at like 75% now of my New Game Plus playthrough. I'm going for the 100% on New Game Plus. I've unlocked almost all of the new suit styles for the symbiote suits. And then there's also like free new suits they added in there. The Hellfire Gala costumes for Peter and Miles look really cool. Yeah. They're looking, you know, like very suave. And then there's the Game Heads promotion that they're doing, which is a paid skin pack.
Okay.
But in the US, if you spend the $5 to buy the suit pack, it goes towards the Game Heads organization.
Oh.
And that's up to $1 million, I think they said. And then if you're outside of the US, because buying those suits will not go towards the charity, you can just wait because they're going to come to the game for free at some point at a later date.
Okay. Yeah.
So honestly, like, yeah, it's a big update. It came with a lot of stuff. Like a lot of people as well mentioned and noticed that the Raimi suit has been updated. Like the visuals on it look a lot closer to how it did in the actual movies, because Spider-Man fans are like psychotic and they know like down to the minute detail, like this is a different shade of red, you know, like the, his eyes are on a 45, like that people are crazy about it.
Damn. But didn't they do it right on the first one?
They think that it wasn't 100% accurate. And listen, I agree, like it didn't look exactly one-to-one from the movie, but it wasn't something that I was like losing sleep over, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it looks like the Raimi suit. It's in the game. I can like play a Spider-Man game that's AAA and brand new with like my favorite version of Spider-Man. You know, yeah. I think that's awesome. But hey, now it's updated. It looks almost one-to-one from the movies, and it's pretty damn cool. It's pretty damn great that they did things like that. But there's also a couple of bugs. They accidentally had
the debug menu
was in the game, and some people were able to play around with that. Insomniac was quick to be like, hey, this can corrupt your save. It's going to interrupt your trophy progress. And then they hot fixed it like a day later.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's how like something like that happened. They forgot to be able to get rid of the shortcut. Because oftentimes whenever you're in dev, like in order, like a lot, of, like especially for any type of game, honestly, they have like a on controller. They usually have like a little like debug sort of like shortcut command.
It's a little button press.
Kind of like almost like a putting in a Konami code and it will open up the debug menu. But normally that like shortcut gets sort of either like cut out or gets cut out of the final game, or they have a different sort of debug menu that they kind of have access to. But yeah, that's just disappointing that happened. Because all the stuff that's in there, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they would use to test out a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah. And so it's unfortunate, but I mean, they hot fixed it relatively quick. They got it up the next day. The only thing is there's a couple of other issues. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 suit, the eyes are all bugged out now. So we're waiting for a patch on that. And then people are still requesting some more quality of life fixes to be added into the game. You know, like they added a ton, right? They added the ability to change the time of day, but I was hoping they would also add like in weather. Mm-hmm. Because there's some missions you play in the game where there's like heavy rain and lightning.
Yeah.
And I would like to just have that be a weather effect that can add to the open world. And thankfully, again, Insomniac has been really good with their communication. People are providing their feedback on things like that. And they're saying and responding, saying, hey, we noted this. We're going to take this to our teams and we'll see if this is something that hopefully we can get in the future for the game. Although, you know, as well, like I know a lot of people are still crossing their fingers for things like DLC to be added in the future. And I know this is just one of many updates that's probably going to be coming down the line.
Yeah.
Insomniac has been very good and have a really good track record at adding new suits for free to these Spider-Man games. Like, I mean, if you look at what they did with the 2018 game, even up until when No Way Home was coming out 3 years later, they were still adding in new suits for free to the game. So I think we can all expect that they're going to do that with Marvel Spider-Man 2. And they have a lot more space now on the disc. Whereas with the first Spider-Man game, I think those No Way Home suits couldn't come to PlayStation 4. I think with this version, like with this, they have a lot more space that they could play around with.
Did they do justice with, I know a lot of people were complaining that Miles got better suits than Peter didn't. Is this balanced this time?
I think definitely now that they added like the styles, the different styles that you can do with the symbiote suits, like some of them make it look like you got a Carnage suit on, which is really cool. Yeah, like there's definitely some more fun options for Peter Parker Spider-Man, but I just want more comic book suits for Peter. I felt like a lot of his selection were returning suits from the first game or like it's cool, don't get me wrong, but they pretty much have every single live action suit for Peter in the game, which is, I mean, that's awesome if you're a fan of all those iterations. But there's a couple in there from the comic books that I really wanted to see, which was why I was glad that they did the Hellfire Gala thing. And I hope we get more updates like that in the future, because Miles' selection, like 90% of it is all from the comic books, which is amazing. And some of the suits are just so cool.
Yeah. Have you done the Spider-Man Noir hack?
Wait, which? Oh, yes, where you use his suit, and then yes, the
so what is it? Cool. So it's actually using a feature that's in the game for accessibility called high contrast mode.
Yeah,
and so basically, what you could do is you can actually turn off all the colors in the game. It included like the background and all the characters, and you could be able to. And then if you put on the Spider-Man Noir suit, you basically are playing in black and white, and
awesome.
It's a pretty cool, like kind of, you know, fun little, like, hey, you could be able to have some fun with that just, you know, go up and be bad guys and some of that. But I saw that pop up on TikTok and I'm like, oh, hey, I know exactly how they did that. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, but to be honest as well, that makes me wish. And again, like Spider-Man fans, like we just cannot stop asking for stuff, but like, how cool would it be if you could have visual filters on the city like that. Like imagine a Spider-Verse like visual filter or something, and then you can go in with Miles in his Spider-Verse suit, Peter in his Noir suit. How insane! I mean, that's like,
wonder if that's just too
I'm in
much
dreamland. I know I'm in dreamland when I'm thinking of
that's
stuff
PS5
like that.
Pro talks there. So.
But yeah, I mean, again, the update is pretty cool. It came with some bugs along the way, though, unfortunately. Hopefully that will get patched out soon. But there's a lot. It's brought me back to the game. I've put in several hours once again. I've gotten to re-experience the story now with suits that I want in the cutscenes. I don't got to see that Adidas suit ever again, which is nice. And one of the first things I did was that mission where you fight Peter and he rips off the symbiote suit. I put the Raimi suit underneath. So good. So good. Some people even messed around with putting a symbiote suit on Peter so that he rips it off and he still
has it on.
I think probably awesome. Out of all the new suits that were added in, I think probably still like, or my favorite is the Hellfire Gala for Miles.
Good. Like, oh, that's so good,
that,
man.
Like, tux suit, like,
yeah,
mwah, it's just so perfect.
Yeah, the glasses look so nice on it, too. The symbol on the back, I'm a big, big fan. You know, I really, really love when they do things like that again. And it's from the comic books, which makes me very, very happy. Even Peter's looks so cool with the big logo across his shoulder and his chest. It's awesome. Yeah, it made me fall in love with the game all over again. I've been very happy with the update. I've been having a lot of fun jumping back in and just again playing through the story.
Awesome. So yeah, if you have it, definitely pick it up, try it in, and fall in love with Spider-Man 2 all over again, because who knows when the next content will come up for that spider universe and everything. So hopefully soon. But we'll see. Steve, how about Rise of Ronin? How were your early impressions? The two Steves came together.
Yeah. So I will say that there's definitely certain things that we're not allowed to talk about, of course, like as any other preview is. So we can only talk about like up into a certain point of the game, even including the preview. We couldn't really put any footage. They gave us some footage, but I didn't really like for accessibility. I couldn't really add it in without really showcasing some of the accessibility. And because I couldn't put that, I decided not to include any footage. So it's just really a conversation. But you can go check that out on my YouTube channel if you want the full thing. But the TLDR of it is it kind of starts off as if it's like a little brother to Ghost of Tsushima, but then you start to see kind of like the Teen Ninja aspects, like all the it's very much an RPG. They have different sort of like tasks and certain things you can do within the game to kind of you can have different like allies and conversations with different other characters, and you can use them as part of your kind of like your team up to be able to go into specific missions. You basically play as one half of what they call a Blade Twin, and you basically actually get to customize two characters, one that you can kind of ultimately decide on which you want to play as, but you basically get to create your two Blade Twins, and essentially they're kind of like they're like your companions that you can constantly switch back and forth between, or essentially you can also I wasn't able to confirm this because the co-op wasn't really added in, but there is potentially like a co-op thing in there. You can be able to join in other people's games, which is cool. But with this one, it was I decided actually to be able to create sort of like literally a set of twins, but with like sort of like different sort of hairstyles and some of that, so it kind of looks like they're both actual twins, which is pretty cool. The character creation aspect, it is really like really robust, so you can really kind of go in and fully customize how you want your character to look like. And then as far as like combat and stuff, if you play like any Teen Ninja game before, like Wolong or Neo, like Steve mentioned to me that essentially it kind of plays pretty much the same. So it is a little bit difficult in combat, but there are things to help like improve the quality of life. Like there is difficulty modes, which is a new thing that Team Ninja added into Rise of Ronin for this. And they also added quite a bit of accessibility in there. Not enough to be able to say it's fully accessible for a lot of disabled players, but there's enough that you can be able to, I would say you can jump in and try to see if it works best for you. I still found the combat to be difficult because there is a lot of sort of systems upon subsystems that you can sort of play with. Like you can when I started, like, the Ghost of Tsushima sort of like comparison is that in that game you can basically you can switch your different stances, and, like, as far as like different like martial styles of like at any given point, and you can be able to, you know, play around with that. But in this one, it has sort of a same thing where you can switch out your martial style, but you can also upgrade that in an RPG mechanic. But then also as well is that there are, like, you could switch between your two different weapons and also a sub weapon, which is a bit of a ranged weapon, and then you can also switch again. Like I said, you could switch between the two different characters that are the other characters that you're playing with, and you sort of utilize their martial styles. There is a thing called counter spark whenever you're in combat, where if you're able to do essentially what they call a kind of a perfect parry, you can do some like a cool like sort of like animation kind of kill effect, and you can basically do a critical damage. It is a bit deceptive because you do this sort of like cool death animation, but then the character, like the NPCs technically is still like, they're still like, they can still be pretty beefy and still have some health left, so you kind of have to keep attacking them essentially. But it is there's a lot of stuff there that I think if you played, you know, Team Ninja games before, like especially with Wolong, it seems to kind of be the kind of the direct comparison. It like, it's similar to that. I normally would start off any game at the normal difficulty just to kind of see how it is, especially for me to play. This is one of the only times I actually had to like basically go down to an easy difficulty, because it was still hard, and it was still hard at that difficulty too.
And then when you jump in, so does it let you switch from like dusk to dawn? Because I think those are, it's like dawn, yes, dusk and twilight.
Twilight, yes, that's the difficulty modes.
And can you do like mid fight if I wanted to, if I'm like, damn, this sucks?
Not necessarily in mid fight, but you can, like, if you die, they actually, after a couple of times, they will also like kind of give you a prompt being like, hey, do you want to
be like, hey, buddy?
So there is that, but yes, anytime you're out of combat, you can be able to go and lower the difficulty in the setting, so which is helpful.
What did you think of the game? Because I know that's one of the things I've been hearing.
Yeah, the game actually is, so far the story is okay. It's an interesting sort of era that we haven't really seen a lot of in games. It's definitely it's Japan in the turn of the 19th and going into the 20th century. Mm-hmm. So they're like, think of like the time of like the Wild West of the U.S. like that kind of era, and sort of like there's, you know, there's like the westernization of America kind of coming over to Japan, and that's kind of like, and then there are some that are in Japan that want to be able to stick to the old ways of life, and there's some that, you know, want to be able to move Japan forward into the future. So there's kind of like a bit of like, that's the overarching sort of world that you're in. I kind of like that era because I just want to become like a cowboy samurai. Because you can actually you can change like your outfits too, and I've already got like a Western sort of like outfit. All I'm waiting for is, like, I just want to get a cowboy hat and a trench coat, and I'm full on like,
is that a thing samurai. You can get?
I don't know. I'm hoping to. Right now, basically, I've got sort of like a pretty badass vest with a shirt and tie, and like, I'm playing as a female character too, and she just looks amazing. Nice. In that kind of outfit. And you can also have like a little trilby hat on too. Also like two samurai swords are kind of like attached to your hip. Okay. So it looks cool. Right. But I want that. I'm waiting for get that cowboy hat and then the coat. If I can get that, I'm like, yes, bring it on. Yeah. I will say there's right now. Now there's enough that's kind of keeping me interested, but I don't know whether or not the story is going to keep me forward. Because I honestly, other than there is one particular instance that actually like kind of sets up what I believe the story for the full game is going to be. Mm-hmm. There's not enough there that's kind of keeping me fully interested. I think it's just it's a very big open world, and you can kind of do almost pretty much anything you want in there. But the story hasn't really kind of like locked me in yet. It's kind of where I've been seeing some people saying that there's not a lot of there may not be a lot of personality, depending on, you know, your opinion of the game. I think that there is. I think that there's definitely something there that people might enjoy. But I don't know. Like, I don't play Team Ninja games. I don't really play a lot of games like in this style. So I don't know if this sort of scratches that, you know, Yakuza, Neo, Wolong, Dynasty, Sekiro kind of like vibe to it. Right. So I think it's kind of like your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is one of those games where, because you have another PlayStation exclusive set in like feudal Japan type thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many comparisons that people are going to try to draw to something like Ghost of Tsushima. And I feel like it's unfair, especially when it comes to the visuals, because obviously like Ghost of Tsushima is like a visual like stunner. You know, it's one of the best looking games ever made, honestly.
Yep.
And yeah, like, okay, Rise of the Ronin doesn't really look like it matches that or is honestly anywhere near. But what I've always seen online and what I kind of tend to agree with is, especially when it comes to Team Ninja, the people who are developing this, is like, it's just gameplay is king. You know, it's just this just needs to be a fun playing game. And from what I'm seeing and from what you're talking about here, it kind of sounds like they hit that mark, which is the most important thing. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that the game you're playing is fun to play. Hopefully, you know, when I do jump into it, I'm grasped by the story, and hopefully there's going to be enough meat on the bone to chew on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out myself. Everything that I've seen, I've watched IGN's preview and a slew of other previews. It does look pretty cool. Like, it honestly does look pretty sweet. It's just obviously like, yeah, like it's no Ghost of Tsushima, but that's like an unfair expectation to set for it because they're two very different types of games.
It's also unfair that Ghost of Tsushima is like, hey, we're coming to PC, and then like Ronin's like, oh, we're gonna do our announcement.
We're launching
right around the corner. It is like a big brother, little brother situation. Like, good for you, little bro. Yeah. I'm going to PC though, but you know. You can pet cats. I saw in the preview.
Also the problem is that you can pet cats, but you're gonna be killing a lot of dogs. It's kind of like wolves in a sense, but yeah, they attack you.
There's things like that in Ghost of Tsushima as well.
Sure. Yeah. I was just like surprised about how many. There was a lot. I was like, I don't want to do this. This seems weird and wrong. But you know, hey, they're attacking. Like, that's why I'm like, I think it's like it's more wolves than actual like, you know, like pet dogs kind of thing. But it's definitely there are moments that it's just like, ew. Okay, all right, that's how it is. But yeah, the Ghost of Tsushima like comparison, like you're gonna, when you jump in, like the first 2 hours are essentially like that. It's very has that kind of vibe to it, and then it's not until you kind of get a little bit further into or a little bit more exploring into the open world that you kind of start to see a little bit more like where it's it kind of differs and starts to kind of separate from it. Mm-hmm. Especially as you said, like the gameplay is definitely king, and it's I would say. It's sort of like if Ghost of Tsushima has like a kind of a very like, you know, I'd say more approachable combat system. This one's a little bit more complex.
Okay.
But for those who like that style of gameplay, I think that'll appeal to more people than if, say, like if trying to be able to pick between the two and you prefer a little bit more complex combat, then yeah, I would say go with Rise of the Ronin.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's and that's coming out March 22nd as well.
I think so. I know that the review embargo is next week, but I'm not
March 22nd. That is confirmed. Yes,
March 22nd. So next Friday.
What I just did, the Google machine.
Well, the Google
has informed me.
Is it bad that like? Sure, this game looks great, but now I'm just more excited for The Last Ronin, which is not remotely related. Whoa. But I'm like, damn, right? Now that's just every time I hear Ronin, I'm like, I'm so excited
for The Ninja Turtles. The Turtles, come on.
Here's the thing, I was like, as I was playing it, I kind of was like, I just want to go back and play Ghost of Tsushima, technically. Oh, like,
see, that's what I'm worried I'm going to feel about like.
The game. Oh, no. Yeah. I was just like, man, I just want to play some more Ghost right now. Like, this is dope.
Only thing that slightly turned me off when I was watching, I think it was specifically IGN's preview, is that there's like a hint of Dark Souls in the gameplay.
There's a bit of that. Yeah,
I'm just no offense, I know there's a huge audience for it. Souls likes just aren't for me. I'm not a big fan. I much prefer, like you said, the more approachable style of combat that you see in something like Ghost of Tsushima. Where it's just a lot more flashy, and even then, like, Ghost of Tsushima has some intricacies to it, you know, the different stances and the way that like how that plays into certain enemy types and stuff. But again, I'm going to give it a fair shot just because I just love games like this. You know, I love all sorts of media that's set. Like, I don't know if any of you guys are watching Shogun.
Not yet. It's on my list.
My goodness. I'm just super down for stories told like in this world or in this time period.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely going to jump in and give it a fair shake and just see what I think about it.
I'm with you with the Souls part. I don't know why people like punishment or just volunteer for punishment. I'm just saying.
You know,
I want you to kill me a million times.
I understand the appeal to that kind of combat. I mean, I'm not going to get fully into it because, of course, but I understand the appeal to that. And I think that this will definitely appeal to a little bit of those players for sure. Okay. Whether or not it will kind of keep people interested, I don't know. Yeah. It just, you know, I've never played a teenager game before. It's
not a full-blown Souls-like.
I'd say it's a little bit like just a step down from a Souls-like. Unless you play like at the harder difficulty, then probably.
Would you say it's close to something like the Star Wars Jedi games? Because I know that a lot of people say that those have like Souls-like aspects to them.
Yes, but not as complex combat.
I see.
Say that. Okay. Yeah.
I see.
I mean, well, Team Ninja has always been known for like difficulty in games, especially with the whole Ninja Gaiden series and everything.
I mean, Ninja Gaiden is the number one to bring up, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like if you played a Team Ninja game before, this is pretty much right in their wheelhouse. They're not really changing a lot of their formula.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff. All right, so our last topic for today is Capcom's highlights that span over the last 2 days. And I'll just announce, you know, the little things. I mean, there's one that I'm sure many of us will be happy to talk about, but they did announce yesterday, I would say, is Monster Hunter Stories. It's coming up for the Switch on the 14th, which is the 3DS remake, coming on the Switch, PS4, and Steam. Monster Hunter Stories 2, which is the Switch port, is coming to PS4 on the same day as well. So look at it, you get your whole Monster Hunter Stories bundle right there. If you're a PlayStation fan, Monster Hunter now is celebrating 6 years already. I have the game downloaded. I haven't opened it yet. I'm sorry, Capcom. I still have that game and everything. Exo Primal, yes, it's still there. It's still around. It's coming with more content. April 17th, they're bringing Mega Man into as a character for you to dress your character as, and they apparently it's a good game, but it's just that the cool part happens to like end game, and that takes like forever to like get to. So but new content's coming out April 17th. That game's approaching its 1 year anniversary. Kenitsugami Path of Goddess coming on Xbox Game Pass. They made sure to put that out there, so this is gone part of Game Pass. We didn't see on the Xbox show that was last week. Series S and X, of course, Steam, PS5, and they're putting it as a single player action game, but there's also like some card element to it as well, where like you can kind of like tell like your troops like, hey, go attack these other people while I'm, and like, then you could like control your characters. So like maybe like a Dynasty Warriors like mini type of game, I would say, but you could like tell your troops what to do and everything like that. Dragon's Dogma is coming, that's available 2024, by the way. There's no set date for that. Dragon's Dogma 2 coming on a very busy day, because you got Princess Peach, we got Rise of the Ronin, and now we got Dragon's Dogma all on the same day, March 22nd. If you wanted to download, I believe only on Steam, I'm not sure on consoles as of yet. But
I've been seeing so much talk about the character creator Like I've been seeing.
That's what you can do right now. You can download it and make a character. Yeah, that's where you spend the most time. You know, like during the Capcom show.
To be honest, it's smart. If the game's not coming out yet, like they're like, okay, well, we're gonna just release the character creation portion. Mm-hmm. So you can put as many hours into that now.
Yeah. Have a whole dedicated stream about it. Like put a picture of yourself and try to match it one-to-one. You know,
is that what it is? Because I've been seeing some people make the characters in that game look so like one-to-one. Is it literally, do they have like a face scan thing?
There's
many options?
I think people just put it on like OBS and then just try to match it one-to-one basically.
That's wild.
Yeah. Wow.
Like during the Capcom show, they had like a cat. They were making a cat during the show. They had some developers kind of like, all right, we'll just make this character out based off of this cat.
And that's like, crazy.
It looks pretty cool. You know, the RE engine is very, very impressive. That's for sure. So once again, that comes on March 22nd. You can download the character creation. It will carry over, obviously. Imagine if it didn't, that would totally suck.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that would really suck.
You're like, what do you mean?
10 hours.
What do you mean the transfer over? Wait a minute. And then finally, spring 2024, Kubus, you probably be happy about this. You know, the god of fists, Akuma.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he just looks so cool, crazy. Man.
He looks so cool. He looks bigger than ever. Like, this guy's like 100 years old. It's just pure muscles on muscles, and he punches the head of the statue. I'm like, what are you doing? You're punching yourself. What are you doing? Yep. Oh my God.
So yeah. For me, Street Fighter has always been, at least the faces of Street Fighter for me, have always been Ryu, of course.
Yes.
And then alongside, you know, Chun-Li, Akuma. Like Akuma has just been, and I mean, he's to the point where he's crossed over in like Tekken stuff, man. Like Akuma is
Asura's Wrath. He was a he was the two boss secret. Yeah.
So such a sick character, and he looks amazing design wise in Street Fighter 6, and I'm surprised that he wasn't in the base roster, but hey, he's now, he's on his way.
Capcom knows the money they can make.
And honestly, it's great. It's great. They're getting some substantial updates now. They're adding some new characters to the roster that, again, a lot of people I'm sure were requesting and wanting in there. It's just going to reel in a ton of more players once again. Street Fighter, it's just one of the best fighting games ever made, honestly.
Yeah.
And like, this is the kind of level that I really wish one day we can see Mortal Kombat reach. And I think that it's super attainable. Like Mortal Kombat, for sure, it caters heavily to a casual audience, far more than Street Fighter and Tekken do. I feel like a lot more people know about Mortal Kombat. I mean, people know about Street Fighter and Tekken, but a lot more people, let's say, on a casual standpoint,
and then a casual audience,
MK, right?
MK more,
But games like Street Fighter and Tekken, they just always like stand the test of time, you know? Like, while you're getting MKX, MK11, MK1, we still only just went from Street Fighter 5 to 6, right? Like, and still, even then, like, Street Fighter 6 is this massive launch, huge pro tour. I like the esports side of things too. I feel like
$1 million helped out a lot. So.
Yeah, like MK's got a lot of catching up to do when it comes to esports. And I would love to see the sun shine as brightly on MK as it does on Street Fighter and Tekken. Outside of the casual audience, because I know that MK still sells really well. Mm-hmm. The DLC with the combat pack, all those guest characters are huge and tons of people get excited for them. Peacemaker, you know, just recently dropped. Super fun character. Really, and they do such a great job at honoring like where the characters come from. You know, like there's so many references to the show, and just him in like the Suicide Squad and stuff, which is awesome. And John Cena is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's going to be just as great whenever Homelander drops in the game. So yeah, like all sorts of stuff like that. I feel like, you know, Mortal Kombat excels in those aspects, but I wish it was caught up in other elements, with where Street Fighter and Tekken are at.
Yeah. John Cena doing it all, you know, especially in Peacemaker, and he was naked the other day.
Getting naked on stage.
Awesome, so, you know,
there you go.
But yeah, that's pretty much, Capcom had to announce and everything. And, you know, they, once again, they're having a strong lineup of themselves as well. They've definitely have bounced back for, I mean, they were almost bought by several companies for sure. A lot of people were like, Capcom's going to be bought because they're like, after was Street Fighter Cross Tekken, that was like, I don't know which was the low point of Capcom, but definitely Resident Evil 7 helped them back up and bring them to where they are right now, which is really, really great to see and everything. So, Caboose, what's going on for you for the rest of the week?
Not much. Just going to take it a little easy now. Sit here and ponder why so many people are begging for live service games, even though they apparently don't want live service games. Isn't that so funny?
Anything excited for Comic-Con for Toronto's coming up here?
Toronto Comic-Con coming up. There's going to be a panel for X-Men 97 with our rivals at the movie podcast hosting the panel. I mean, that's awesome. Big shout outs to the folks at the movie podcast. I'm definitely going to be attending. I want to watch those first couple of episodes and see, you know, all, like a bunch of the voice cast is going to be there as well. Cal Dodd, Wolverine, Bub is going to be there. I'm
by the way, breaking news though about X-Men 97.
I know, I heard
the creator was fired.
You know what, man?
The show premieres next week.
This is going to be a really interesting story when the scoop comes out as to what exactly happened there.
Yeah,
not to turn us into the movie podcast. But
yeah, let them
Marvel. Marvel doesn't usually just fire somebody, so I wonder.
Especially
something must have happened.
Especially when
the
show is just about to come out.
Yeah, something serious must have happened behind the scenes. I don't know. I'm very interested in figuring out. I'm sure somebody's going to break the story at some point because it's just it's too intriguing, you know, like we got to learn more. So I'm sure somebody's going to break that story at some point. Very unfortunate, but at least he's already put pen to paper for season two of an X-Men 97 with ideas already as well for season three. I hope the show can survive without him, especially if it comes out that there's like some really like heinous stuff.
Well,
I'm still looking forward to it. I didn't necessarily grow up like when X-Men 97 was airing, or sorry, when the original X-Men cartoon was airing. But I did grow up because my brother's a huge X-Men fan. I got a box of comics underneath my bed right now with several X-Men issues. I have the hollow print of the issue of X-Men when Magneto rips the adamantium out of Wolverine.
Oh,
yeah. Crazy moment. Incredible cover. Want to get it graded someday. I should get it graded someday. So I'm a huge, huge X-Men fan and I can't wait for the show. Toronto Comic Con in general. I don't know if anybody's going to be there. If you guys are going to be there, I'm excited to hopefully see you guys there.
Awesome. I'm still debating on going. I don't know about you, Sammy. What are you doing for this week?
I will most likely be there Saturday and likely involved in a panel. There's a Lady Power Hour. It's a gaming and cosplay panel. Posted, I'm pretty sure, in connection with Femme Gaming. So I'll be there because of Femme Gaming. So super excited about that.
Awesome.
That's the biggest thing I got going on this week. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Awesome. And Steve, I know you're busy working trails, but anything else going on?
No, I mean, for this week's Gaming Insight podcast, I just confirmed that, it'll be actually with, Alyssa Mercante from, Kotaku, and we're going to talk about everything going on with, Sweet Baby.
Boy,
it's going to be an interesting episode.
Good luck with that one.
We all know
that consulting agencies have final call on writing decisions for the big AAA game.
As also someone who has consulted for representation on a game too, I think, you know, it's going to be a very interesting conversation, and you
certainly
know,
people will hear you out.
I hope so.
Because the internet is full of normal people.
Very normal, non-angry
people. That's for sure. Who just like
I will definitely be tuning into that, though. I'm looking forward to listening.
Thank you. Yeah, it wouldn't be a spring for me without, you know, some sort of content that I make that also riles up the trolls. So whatever.
Yeah.
Awesome. For me, when this episode comes out, it'll be my birthday. So, you know, happy birthday to me.
Hey,
you
know,
happy birthday.
Thank you. Marcel.
And I don't know what else I'm doing. I might stop by like maybe on the Saturday on the Comic Con day and check it out for a little bit. It is just down the road. Swing by. So we'll
swing by,
you know, so. But that's pretty much it. We all see you here next week. Have a good one, everyone.